It's time for Fox's top college football analyst.
Flat with a play action, going to go long, and he's got a man there. Touchdown, Colorado!
The inside story on college football without the SEC homerism.
I'm going to get it, like a bull in a china shop.
This is Fridays with Klatt, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Can you find out if Dalton Ferguson was named after Dalton from Roadhouse?
I'm not going to do that.
Thanks, Joel.
Sorry.
Appreciate you.
Brought to you on the fan by 808, the titan of Hawaiian restaurants.
All right, he's going to be on the call for Michigan, Wisconsin, and Madison, Wisconsin. Joel Klatt joins us now. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing on the West Coast?
Well, it's Portland, so it's
dreary,
like
dreary,
cloudy, rainy.
Kind of miserable.
I mean, awesome, man. It's great.
Wonderful.
Cheer up. Football tomorrow.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, you're in Madison, and
in Portland.
You're in Madison, Wisconsin, and actually, that's a great having us cheer up is a great way to get to this question. I've heard Madison, Wisconsin,
right,
is one of the best college football environments in the country. When you are in a stadium that is electric and it's a big game like this one is that you have with Gus Johnson and Jenny Taft on Fox, do you feed off of it during your broadcast? Do you find that you have more pep in your step during the call?
Listen, you listen to me. You understand me?
Yes.
You listen to me.
Thanks.
I bring the same pep every week. All right? I got one speed. That speed is 100%. Not 101, that's impossible. Anyone says go 101%, it's lying to you. You can't do that. It's physically impossible. But you can bring 100% every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every rep, every day. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Fine. That's how I roll. Of course, Dusty, of course. Yes, when there is more energy. In this, like last week at Indiana, I felt like you guys to open this segment. Hi, Robbie.
I need to go bench press. I feel like I need to bench press right now.
You sound like your dad was a football coach or something.
My dad, not only was he a football coach, he was a first lieutenant of a artillery division in the United States Marine Corps.
I want to ask, not just college football, I want to ask you just a football guy, because you like football and you do that. You watch the NFL, you watch sports, you're broadcasting a game. What does the obsessive amount of penalties do to you as when you're calling a game or just watching it as a quarterback? We watch Thursday night, but even in the college game, seeing it, does it change the way you call a game? Do you get just as agitated watching that yellow crap all over the place and how it takes away the energy?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that it is the single greatest issue facing our sport is the rules and how we try to administer the rules. The replay. I mean, replay is just – and in college football, these officials are not quite as experienced or good at their craft as the NFL. And so it takes even longer. We get all these conferences out there, you know, and it's a flag. And I'm sitting in the booth and I'm like, okay, you know, this is a hold. It's like such an obvious hold. And then they got to talk to each other. And then they and then they point at the ball. And then they go, okay, I mean, 10 yards from her. And then finally it comes on. It's like holding. Looks over to his partner, and his partner says, like, 72 from the number 72 of the offense. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this took forever. Replays take forever. I'll see one replay almost real speed. And we all know, I do in the booth, you do at home. All right, this is going to be a completion or an incompletion. And then it goes to replay, and it takes 2 full minutes. It's the actual administration of the rules is brutal in our sport. Both levels.
So, Joe, when you look at that as players, how do you practice? I mean, I'm feeling it when I see it. I mean, these guys aren't preparing for the momentum shifts. We all try to do it. You can't practice that. We all don't have the kind of officials that are out there during practice to stop and flow. You're doing 9-on-7. You're doing on 7-on-7. You don't have that kind of stop and flow. Is that one of the hardest things you're seeing for players to be able to handle the energy shifts of it?
Well, not only that, but if you go to a practice, you know, and this has been from the beginning of time, at least in this sport, it's like there's always a sense of urgency. Don't jog between drills. No walking. You know, get off. Come on. You know, next rep. Move the drill. Ah! And there's this insane sense of urgency as it relates to practice reps, volume of reps. Now, you know, these coaches have catered so much to this generation that they're like, well, this generation is going to be bored unless we play music.
Right.
So now they've got music out at practices and they're trying to go fast. And then we get out to the game and it's just like, wah, wah, wah.
Old man on the porch today. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
true.
Slow. And we're part of the problem. Television's part of the problem, but you either want your big stadiums and your high salaries or you don't. But that's the part that I harp on is the officiating and the administration of the rules, the technical aspect, the fundamentals of applying the rules just take too long. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, well, you take too many commercials. Well, do you like the money or not?
Well,
true.
The schools love the money,
yes,
and that's why everybody is fighting over the TV contracts and the whole Pac-12's complaining. Joel Klatt is our guest. He is Fox Sports college football analyst. He'll be on Michigan and Wisconsin call. You mentioned that you were at Indiana versus Ohio State last weekend, and Ohio State took care of business. They appear to be legit this year and every bit deserving of the hype that's getting around them. Ryan Day... They don't seem to be missing a beat. Has anything changed since Urban Meyer left with that Ohio State program in your eyes?
Well, they changed defenses, you know, and I think that was the biggest part of what they needed to do. Their defense was not great last year, even though they had tremendous talent. And so they brought in a couple of guys, one from the NFL. His name's Jeff Hafley. He's a secondary coach and co-coordinator with the defensive front coach, and that's Greg Madison. And Greg Madison came from Michigan. And so those two have kind of married together and created a very simple and sound defense. And when you have players, I really believe that if you looked at the two deep for Ohio State, when I look at my chart, and I've got an Ohio State depth chart for their defense, I truly believe out of the 22 to 29 players that I'll have listed on a depth chart just for their defense, I'm almost certain that between 16 to 19 of those guys are going to be NFL players. And so when you've got players, I'm not joking. I mean, they are loaded on defense. And when you've got players like that, the last thing you want to do is slow them down by making them think. And those two co-coordinators, all they want to do is they talk about, we want our kids cleats in the ground and eyes in the backfield. And so they're playing more zone coverage, which is helping them against the run because they've got more run support. They're maintaining their levels of defense, which is something they really struggled with a year ago. They used to walk the linebackers up into the feet of the defensive linemen, and they would try to confuse the blocking schemes. But the problem was is they were confusing their own scheme. And when you don't have any levels, by walking your second level up to be even with your first level, one crease, and it's a big play. All you need is one little crease. And so that's why they gave up so many big plays last year. Now they're maintaining their levels. You don't see the big plays. They're tackling better. Their eyes are in the backfield. And then they've got two corners on the outside, Damon Arnette and Jeff Okudo, who I think are both first-round players. So you've got the top two, three pick in the draft, rushing the quarterback and Chase Young. You've got two first-round corners on the outside. And of the starting 11, nine of them probably are playing in the NFL in a couple of years. So they're really damn good.
All right, so I want to go back to the game that you're doing with Jim Harbaugh and watching what Michigan does. I've seen David Shaw. We're watching what Stanford and kind of this, not just a fade of athletes, just a style of football that was worked really well with Jim Harbaugh. Then David Shaw kind of carried it on. Stanford's reeling and struggling. I'm watching what you just said about Ohio State, their ability to be innovative, watching Oklahoma, seeing Nick Saban change his style. And now I see a guy going on the road as an underdog who's, 0-7, I think, Jim Harbaugh as an underdog. Is there a disconnect with the
0-6?
I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. But who's counting? Is there an evolution disconnect of football that Jim Harbaugh's not stepping up to and with his quarterback development and the style of offense and watching everyone else be more innovative? I'm just noticing that a little bit. I wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that most offenses, if not every single offense, has had to evolve. To some degree, because I think it is misguided to believe that you can sit in a traditional pro style only offense and be a great program. Now, that being said, Wisconsin is fairly traditional, and I think that they are really, really good. The problem comes in is that, and even Nick Saban in Alabama had to at some point recognize this, is that at some point your defense is going to give up 40 points in this day and age. You know, you find a weak or an offense that you're going up against or an RPO or a set of officials that is not officiating the way that you expect them to officiate, and all of a sudden you're in a shootout. And that's what Alabama got into a few different times, you know, with their old style of offense. And, you know, they got into shootouts with Deshaun Watson. And then what Nick Saban finally did is he was like, you know what, I'm going to morph on the defense, on the offensive side. And he now morphed to the point where the evolution took place with the Crimson Tide. They threw 52 touchdown passes last year. That led the country. Did you guys know that? Alabama and Nick Saban, their team threw more touchdown passes than any other team in America. Oof. Ohio State threw 50. So everyone has evolved. TCU with Gary Patterson has evolved. And I think what you're seeing from Michigan is an admission that they need to, and they're trying to this year with their new offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, and they're trying to be in space, and they're trying to play with 11 personnel. When you hear 11 personnel, by the way, fans at home, that means the first number in the personnel number is the running back, and then the second number in the personnel number is the number of tight ends. So if I say 21, that means two backs, one tight end. If I say 11, that's one back, one tight end. So what Michigan used to be was a lot of 12 or 21. That's a run-heavy set. Now they're a lot of 11 or 10 personnel, which means that they don't have those run-heavy sets. So they're trying to evolve and play faster in space, but they have not played all that efficient, and they've been making a lot of mistakes in their execution over the first 2 weeks. To get back to your question, yes, I do feel like you have to either have an insanely talented back that you can feature a la Christian McCaffrey or any of those players that Stanford used to have, or even a Bryce Love. Jonathan Taylor right now at Wisconsin, that's who makes them go and why they can sit in there. But when you don't have that player, it's over, man. Like, you can't keep up. And their defense gets hung out to dry because they're facing these people that are just going to, you know, play a little pinball out there. And it's really tough, man. I got to tell you, I think Stanford's in a precarious spot. Two true freshmen have just lit them up from a quarterback standpoint.
I mean, everything that you just said also kind of applies to Stanford and the problems that they're having with the evolution of their offense as well. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. Always appreciate the time. Oh, there's one last thing I saw on your Twitter. You and I have something in common. I saw your favorite movie tweet, Big Lebowski.
Oh, that's
that rug right. Really yes. Tied the room together, man. Really tied the room together.
No, like, I'm the dude, so that's what you call me, man. You're Mr. Lebowski.
El Duderino, if you will.
If you're not into, you know, the home revenue thing. Do you think he's got room for one more little Lebowski urban achiever?
Yeah. Yes. I saw, and I was excited when, before the Super Bowl, we were going to get a Big Lebowski 2, but then it just turned out being
stupid
that
commercial
Dos Equis commercial, and that really...
Yeah, and I, you know what? I don't want a 2.
You don't?
Like, it's too good. Like, I don't try to recreate it. It's so good. Walter Sobchak might be the most underrated character in movie history.
Over the line! So
over the line.
100%. 100%.
Cameron, you are, dude. Cameron, you are. All right,
hold
Joel.
The ringer, dude. The ringer? What is this, Walter? The whites.
You can quote all day.
Dirty undies. Dude. All right, Joel Klatt, thanks for the time.
Joel.
Have a good call.
I don't roll on Sunday.
Shabbos. Joel Klatt giving us Big Lebowski drops to send you into the college football weekend. That's a good jumping off point for the always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining weekend, would you rather, to kick off the 8 o'clock hour on The Fan.
And that's cool. That's cool.